My name is Joe Basta, and I'm the Next Steps pastor here at Purpose Church. Purpose Church has helped me learn that everyone is designed to serve. Really, when I started actually going to high school, I was deathly afraid to actually participate in student ministries because I was a really shy kid, if you can believe it or not. And it wasn't until I reconnected with a friend that I started going to high school ministry. And that is really when I started to get plugged in with the church and I started feeling like I could actually participate in serving and being a part of this community that is so beautiful. And Purpose Church really pushed serving to us students because they knew the value of how much we learn about God, how much we learn about ourselves, and how much serving really takes us out of our own comfort zone to really rely on the Lord instead of relying on our own strength. Purpose Church encourages people to embrace their spiritual gifts by, one, we offer a spiritual gifts assessment on our Purpose Church website, and we also offer a Design to Serve class that offers one-on-one coaching with someone that's been trained that will help you get comfortable with knowing what your gifts are. Where has God specifically gifted you in? Is it hospitality? Is it the spiritual gift of wisdom? Is it the spiritual gift of serving others, administration? We are such a diverse community, and I feel like Purpose Church really pushes us to live into that diversity. The reason I serve is because it gives me joy. It brings me joy. And it's the way that I can connect with God and connect with others, and it's so life-giving.
Well, we are so blessed at Purpose Church to have Pastor Joe and her Next Steps team leading all of us to help all of us take our next steps. Well, welcome to Purpose Church, or welcome back to Purpose Church. My name is Eric, and I'm one of the pastors here, and I love you. Wherever you're watching from, wherever you're listening from, welcome to the Purpose Church Everywhere family. I love you, and most importantly, the God who created the universe also created you, and he loves you. And he loves you so much that he wants to speak to you and me right now. Well, we are in a series, we're actually towards the end of a series called We Are That Kind of Church. 8 essentials for every church God blesses, Satan hates, and the world needs. And that's the kind of church we're striving to be. And today we are looking at essential number 7. In fact, we only have 2 more weeks. Essential number 7 is we are a serving church. Would you find me in Ephesians chapter 2? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Apostle Paul says this: "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Now, this verse is a really interesting one in the original language, because the very first word in this verse is not for, it's not we or are, it's actually God's. That the verse begins with the emphasis on God. Why? Because as the Apostle Paul is teaching us who we are and what we were created for, he recognizes we must start with understanding that our salvation, our hope, and our purpose all begins with God, that he is the beginning of all things, including our lives and our stories in his larger story. But then if you'll notice, he says, "For we are God's handiwork." He didn't necessarily say, he didn't start by saying, "I am God's handiwork," kind of by myself doing my own thing. He said, "No, we are God's handiwork." You see, I think this is really significant that Paul draws our attention to thinking in terms of we, not me. It reminds me of one of our former high school students here at Purpose Church. His name's Malik, and he was a part of the Kaiser football team in Fontana, where their motto is "we, not me." You see, the we mindset makes every team, company, institution, organization, family, and church more effective. In fact, part of the problem that we face all the time is when we believe that our lives revolve around me, when it's all about me, when everybody else exists for me, we find our relationships are really shallow, our impact in the world is really shallow, and ultimately that sort of selfishness, it drives a wedge between us and what God has called us to. But this idea of me, of we, reminds us that every team, company, institution, organization, family, and church are more effective, are more what God has designed them to be when they think in terms of we. Yeah, like your family will be healthier when people are thinking about we over me. Our churches, our communities, everything benefits with a we mindset over a me mindset. Now, Paul uses this next word, handiwork, and it's a significant one because some translations will use the word handiwork. Others will say workmanship. Some will say masterpiece. They all come from the same Greek word, poiema, which means work of art, something an artist or poet creates, the result of artistic skill and craftsmanship. Now, this is really interesting. The English word poem actually comes from the Greek word poema. You see what Paul's saying here? He's saying it's all about God. He has created we as a family, as a community, and we are God's masterpiece, that you are God's work of art, that you are his poem, that he loves you, that he spent so much time and energy and intentionality bringing you into the world. It's why whenever I tuck my kids into bed, I have them repeat this phrase. I often will have them repeat this phrase after me. And in fact, I want to invite you to do this right now. I want you to repeat this line after me. I am God's masterpiece. God's masterpiece. Even when I don't feel like a masterpiece. You see, you can basically decide, am I going to let my feelings determine who I am and who I believe God has made me to be? Or will I choose to allow God's word to define, determine, and remind me of who I actually am? But then did you see what Paul said next? For we are God's handiwork. It all starts with God. We are his masterpieces, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Here's the big idea. We are designed to serve. But notice, we are designed to serve after we recognize that we are God's masterpiece. This is massive. This is significant. And here's why. Every person on planet Earth will either spend their lives working for love or working from love. In fact, you're spending all of your energy and your time in the relationships, in your workplaces, in your career, with roommates, with family members, working for love. And sometimes we put that onto God. We either spend our lives working for his love, hoping one day we could earn his love. But he has actually hardwired us, created us, so that we could live free and peaceful lives from his love. Let me ask you that question right now. Are you working for God's love, or are you working from a deep place knowing you already have it? You already have his love right now. And I'm telling you, when you choose to live from God's love, everything changes. Paul continues in verse 17. He came, talking about Jesus, he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, through Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, we both have access. He's talking about Jews and Gentiles, a diverse gathering of people. We both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Now, this is significant because Paul is saying the diversity that God desires for his church to represent is not just like generic diversity where everybody's different and everybody kind of believes you can get to God however you want. No, what makes the church so amazing, what makes the body of Christ so incredible, is that it is a diverse gathering of people who have so many differences, but they are united and they will never be separated in the understanding and the belief that their oneness comes because of what Jesus Christ has done on their behalf. He continues, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household." You see, something powerful happened when Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, died on the cross for the sins of the world, rose from the dead. It gave all of us the opportunity to be a part of his family. You see, the truth is sin made us dead and it disconnected us from God. It continues to do that. But God in Christ took our place. God in Christ brought us back to life when he rose from the dead and formed us into his family. It's why I say very often, there is no such thing as an only child in the family of God. You are not alone. You are a part of a we are God's masterpiece. And when you know that you're a masterpiece, and when you're absolutely convinced that you are designed to serve, and when you experience and know without a shadow of a doubt that you belong to God's family, your life changes and your ministry and what you do with your life changes. I remember a couple years ago, we needed to get our carpets cleaned at our house. And so my wife found a guy on Yelp and he was supposed to come over at about 6 p.m. And so I remember the night before, my wife Sarah and I were talking and we said, well, how about if I'll come home from work and while the guy's cleaning the carpets, we go out and just have an amazing family night. Like, we'll just have a great time as a family. And we were brainstorming, like, what would be the best places for us to go as a family? And at the very top of that list, like, the first idea is we need to go to Shakey's Pizza. Now, I wonder who out there right now has been to a Shakey's Pizza. Some of you are getting slain in the spirit right now because you remember the glory or you enjoy the glory of the Shakey's Pizza. It's an all-you-can-eat buffet with mojo potatoes and pizza and salad, and it's incredible. They got video games, and so we were getting really excited about this. Rather, I was getting really excited about this. And so that whole day leading up to us going to Shakey's, I didn't eat a lot of food. Why? Because you don't want to show up to a Shakey's buffet already fed. You want to show up hungry. And so I get home at 6 o'clock, excited to take the family out, and the guy's not there to clean the carpets. Well, 6 becomes 6:30, it becomes 7, it becomes 7:30 p.m. before the guy ever shows up. And when he knocks on the door, he was cheerful and excited, and I got to be honest with you, I was hangry, I was hungry, I was barely Christian still, I was ready to head to Shakey's Pizza. But my wife is such a godlier person than I will ever be, and so she starts talking to him, and she shares with him about how we're Christians. He notices a Bible verse in our house. He's a Christian. Our daughter had some heart conditions. His daughter had some heart conditions. They're connecting as brothers and sisters in Christ, and I'm just annoyed, right? Like, I'm just ready to get on to the next thing. Well, we end up leaving a check for him on the dining room table. We head out, we go to Shakey's Pizza, have a great time, come back. And when we walk inside the house, the carpets look amazing. And we go to the dining room table where we had left a check and it was still there. And it simply had a note on it that said, "Thank you so much for blessing me today with our conversation. Would you give this money to a family in need in your church?" And I immediately felt convicted, right? Because I was not thinking kind thoughts about this guy. I was just so focused on getting off to Shakey's Pizza. But this guy, he recognized he's God's masterpiece. He's designed to serve. He belongs to God's family. And it led him, and it leads us, to live differently. Well, here are the two big questions for our time together. The first question I want to wrestle with, and it's going to be pretty quick, is how can I be a part of God's family? Maybe even after we read that verse, you're thinking, man, I want to be a part of God's family. I want to know what that means to be a part of God's family. The second question we're going to look at is, how can I serve God's purposes? Well, let's start with that first question. How can I be a part of God's family? In Acts chapter 2, Peter is in the middle of a sermon and he says this, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, here's the good news. Every single one of us can have access to become a part of God's family. Every single one of us can be forgiven. Every single one of us can be in a relationship with the God who created us. I mean, Jesus is passionate about reaching everyone everywhere. And the temptation can be to think, well, the things I've done in my past, they exclude me. Or some of my current struggles exclude me. The truth is, if you will repent, if you will humble yourselves, if you will recognize that you need God, and guess what? All of us do. If you will recognize that you need God and you ask for His forgiveness, not only will He forgive you, but the Bible says that He will give you the Holy Spirit. And I believe right now that there are some of you who are watching and listening, and maybe you weren't even prepared for this, but you're recognizing that your life has lacked purpose because you have been disconnected from your Creator God. This is your opportunity to begin a relationship with Jesus. And so we've got a simple prayer up here. And there's nothing really fancy about this prayer, but if you pray this from an honest place in your heart, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. In fact, I want to invite you right now, if you want to begin a relationship with Jesus, to pray this after me. Jesus, I confess that my sin is a problem I can't fix. I believe that you died on the cross to forgive me. I trust that you rose from the dead, proving you are God. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Today and every day, I choose to follow you. If you said that prayer, if you believe those words, if you're beginning a relationship with Jesus, you just made the most important decision of your entire life, which is why I would encourage you. You have 5 next steps that you must take. Number one, let us know. We want to celebrate with you. We want to come alongside you. We want to equip you and encourage you in your new relationship with Jesus. I want to also challenge you to read your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we want to get you one. Start praying daily. You've just begun a new relationship, not a religion, a new relationship with your God who created you, and it's time for you to get to know Him and allow Him to speak to you. Number four, join a life group. It's impossible to continue to grow in your relationship with Jesus without a community of other believers who want to do that with you. And then lastly, share Jesus with someone. In fact, the next person you're going to see, the next person you're going to talk to, the next person, this person sitting right next to you right now, share with them this decision that you decided to follow Jesus. Because here's the truth. Jesus saves us from our sin and saves us for Himself. Okay, so that's a really big idea. Jesus saves you from your sin and gives you His forgiveness. But the whole gospel says that because Jesus Christ has saved you, you now have the opportunity to live for Him, to live for purposes bigger than yourself. In fact, what your heart, what your very soul is craving. Which is why I want to spend the rest of our time talking about that for. What has God saved you and I for? Which really leads to our next question. How do I serve God's purposes? And the answer is simple. Through spiritual gifts. Now, for the next few minutes, I want to answer a few questions. Where do spiritual gifts come from? Why do we need spiritual gifts? How can I get a spiritual gift? And what are the spiritual gifts? So let's start with the first one. Where do spiritual gifts come from? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, the Apostle Paul says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." This scripture teaches that, number one, the Holy Spirit lives inside of every single believer. Peter echoed this in his sermon in Acts, that when you receive the forgiveness of Christ, when you repent, that the Holy Spirit actually occupies your life and your soul. But then the Apostle Paul says that these gifts come from the Holy Spirit. Look at this in chapter 12, verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. So the Holy Spirit lives inside of every single believer, and then the Holy Spirit gives us specific spiritual gifts as He distributes them to us. Well, the second question, why do we need spiritual gifts? Paul continues in verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The purpose of spiritual gifts are to bless the community, to benefit others, and they are necessary for ministry. This is important. The job, the role, the purposes, the tasks God has given you are too big for you to accomplish on your own. And this is actually good news for us. The beauty of having your life be saved by Christ and having the Holy Spirit live in you is that you don't have to fulfill His purposes in your own strength, because we can't. And so God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, gives us spiritual gifts because they're necessary for fulfilling His purposes. There are spiritual gifts in every Christian that the rest of us need. The Holy Spirit wants to offer a gift to His people and to the world through you. What spiritual gift? What spiritual gift or what spiritual gifts has God given you to share with the church and the world? I think there are some of us who have never fully stepped into the spiritual gifts that God has given us. We've been trying to follow Jesus and even serve Jesus and serve the church in our own strength. Which leads to the next question. How can I get a spiritual gift? Paul continues in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. And so the Holy Spirit distributes spiritual gifts to us as He determines. You know what this means? This means at times God will give His people spiritual gifts that last for their whole lives. At other times, God will give spiritual gifts for a moment, for a season, based on the needs of God's purposes. And so part of being a follower of Jesus is saying, Holy Spirit, would you equip me with what I need to serve your purposes? And there are going to be spiritual gifts that you have your whole life, and there's going to be others that God is going to give you at specific times, at specific places, to fulfill His purposes. Well, what are the spiritual gifts? Now, there is not one exhaustive list of spiritual gifts. The four most referenced passages that directly address spiritual gifts are Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, and 1 Peter chapter 4. But there are other biblical passages that describe gifts God gives His people to accomplish His purposes. Most people agree there's anywhere from 18 to 27 spiritual gifts listed in the Bible. To help you discover your spiritual gifts, it's important to pray, to read the spiritual gifts passages in the Bible, to talk with other believers. And we recommend that you take the spiritual gifts survey on our webpage, purposechurch.com/serve. Now, I want to read in alphabetical order a list of 22 biblical spiritual gifts with a short definition for each. And while I do that, I want to encourage you to listen for the spiritual gifts that stand out to you and might be gifts God has given you. I'm just thinking and believing that there's some of you listening or watching who have yet to fully step into the calling God has placed on your life. And so I would invite you right now to even pray as you're watching, as you're listening, as you're hearing these spiritual gifts described, to just ask, say, God, would you show me, as a follower of Jesus, would you show me which of these gifts you want me to cultivate with you, that you want me to step more fully into, and that you have given me? So let's look at them together now. Let's start with the gift of administration. is the divine strength or ability to organize multiple tasks and groups of people to accomplish these tasks. The gift of apostolic ministry is the divine strength or ability to pioneer new churches and ministries through planting, overseeing, and training. The gift of craftsmanship is the divine strength or ability to plan, build, and work with your hands in construction environments to accomplish multiple ministry applications. The gift of discernment is the divine strength or ability to spiritually identify falsehood, to distinguish between right and wrong motives, and the spiritual forces at work in situations. The gift of evangelism is the divine strength or ability to help a not yet believer take the necessary steps to becoming a born-again Christian. The gift of exhortation is the divine strength or ability to strengthen, comfort, or urge others to action through the written or spoken word and biblical truth. The gift of faith is the divine strength or ability to believe in God for unseen supernatural results in every arena of life. The gift of giving is the divine strength or ability to produce wealth and to give over and above tithes and offerings for the purpose of advancing the kingdom of God on earth. The gift of healing is the divine strength or ability to act as an intermediary in faith, prayer, and by the laying on of hands for the healing of physical, mental, and spiritual sickness. The gift of helps is the divine strength or ability to work in a supportive role for the accomplishment of tasks in Christian ministry, with the ability to often see the need before others do. The gift of hospitality is the divine strength or ability to create warm, welcoming environments for others in places such as your home, office, or church. The gift of intercession is the divine strength or ability to stand in the gap in prayer for someone, for something, or some place, believing for profound results. The gift of knowledge is the divine strength or ability to bring truth to a situation by supernatural revelation. This is often accompanied by a word from God. The gift of leadership is the divine strength or ability to influence people at their level while directing and focusing them on the big picture, vision, or idea. The gift of mercy is the divine strength or ability to feel empathy and to care for those who are hurting in any way. The gift of miracles is the divine strength or ability to alter the natural outcomes of life in a supernatural way through prayer, faith, and divine direction. The gift of pastoring or shepherding is the divine strength or ability to care for the personal needs of others by nurturing and mending life's issues. The gift of prophecy is the divine strength or ability to communicate God's truth and heart in a way that calls people to a right relationship with God. The gift of serving is the divine strength or ability to do small or great tasks in working for the overall good of the body of Christ. The gift of teaching and preaching is the divine strength or ability to study and learn from the Scriptures, primarily to bring understanding, depth, and application to other Christians and those exploring faith. The gift of tongues is the divine strength or ability to, one, pray in a heavenly language to encourage your spirit and to commune with God, or two, an earthly language that you did not previously know. The gift of tongues is often accompanied by interpretation and should be used appropriately. The gift of wisdom is the divine strength or ability to understand and to bring clarity to situations and circumstances, often through applying the truths of Scripture in a practical way. Now, as I read that list, you may see some of them and think to yourselves, oh man, well, that gift is certainly more important than that gift. Or, oh, I wish I had that gift, but I think I have this one instead. And that's a totally natural human response, but I need to pastorally and biblically remind you that all of these gifts that I just listed are essential and necessary to fulfill God's purposes. And so the gift or the gifts that God has given you are equally valuable and important and essential. Now, Paul says something really interesting in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, as he's closing out his teaching on spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians. He says, "Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." Now, we don't know exactly what those greater gifts are. Many speculate about them. But here's what we know to be true. We are given permission biblically to desire spiritual gifts. And so maybe there's a spiritual gift that you go, man, I wish I had that spiritual gift. It's okay to desire that. But Paul warns us of something. He says, if your desire for those spiritual gifts is not motivated by love, you're like a clanging cymbal. You will have no benefit. I want to tell you a story that I don't love telling, but I think it's important. A couple years ago, I got an email one day from Forest Home Christian Camp. And that was the camp that I grew up going to. It's where I became a follower of Jesus. And they reached out to me several years ago and said, "Eric, we'd love for you to go through the application process to become one of our camp speakers." And I want to be really honest with you. I want to confess to you, my church family, my pride and my ego were so excited about that. In fact, I felt better about myself. I had this greater security about myself. I wasn't thinking in any way about the students I would have the opportunity to impact or how God might want to use that to advance his kingdom. It was honestly all about me. And so one of the things they asked for is they asked for me to submit some teaching samples of my preaching and then for me to fill out a theological questionnaire. So I sent them some video samples of my preaching. I filled out the questionnaire, and then a couple weeks later, I got an email from them. And it simply said, "Eric, I'm sorry to inform you, but you have not been accepted as one of our camp speakers." And that ego, and this is the thing about ego and pride, is it can come off like really bold and confident, but when your life is driven by ego and pride, you can get deflated really quickly and feel really small really quickly. And that's exactly how I felt in that moment. I felt so discouraged and down. And then I felt the Holy Spirit whisper to me, "Eric, I want you to tell your high school students tonight." It was youth group night. I felt like he said, "I want you to tell your students about you getting rejected as a camp speaker." And you ever had one of those moments where you just, like, you're talking with God and you're just like, "No, like, I'm not going to do that. No, why? I already feel like a loser. Why do I want all these other people to be confirmed in their suspicions that I'm a loser?" But you see, I was preaching about spiritual gifts that night. And it was clear that the Lord was convicting me that my desire was not for the common good. It was not to benefit the body of Christ. It was all about me. Well, about 6 months later, the Lord had done a really great work on my heart. I mean, I feel like he had humbled me. He had reminded me. He had taught me. He had showed me what the purposes of spiritual gifts were, that it's not about us, but it's about being a part of God's purposes. Well, 6 months later, Forest Home reached out to me again, and they said, "Hey, Eric," it was a different person this time. They said, "Hey, Eric, we'd love to invite you to apply to become one of our camp speakers. We need a video teaching and some answers to these questions." And I thought to myself, why are you doing this? Or God, why are you putting me through this again? Like, this is salt on a wound. I've just recovered. And yet I sent them the exact same video teaching. I sent them the exact same answers to the theological questions. And then 2 weeks later, they wrote me an email. They said, "Eric, we'd love to have you be one of our speakers." You see, God took me through that painful journey to remind me that if my service to him is not motivated by love, it will be motivated by pride and arrogance, and that ain't gonna help anybody. You see, your desire for spiritual gifts, your desire for an opportunity to be used by God in this way or that way, I wanna ask you a question. Is it motivated by personal gain? Or is it motivated by the common good? And that's a great prayer to say, God, would you help me to be motivated by a desire to fulfill your purposes? It kind of reminds me of that quote from the movie Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, where the Ancient One says, arrogance and fear still keep you from learning the simplest and most significant lesson of all. And Doctor Strange responds, which is, and the Ancient One says, it's not about you. Remember how Ephesians chapter 2:10 begins with God? And remember how it says that we are his masterpiece? This is the beauty, the freedom of being a follower of Jesus, is our lives don't have to revolve around us, but we can be a part of something bigger than ourselves. The last question I want to look at is this. What's my next step? Well, if you're not serving yet through Purpose Church, if you haven't been activated in your spiritual gifts, I think a great next step would be to join our Design to Serve class here at Purpose Church, which is happening next Sunday, November 24th. We got a team of volunteers and staff that would love to help you understand your spiritual gifts and see opportunities to serve and be used by God for kingdom eternal impact. The second next step that I think applies to all of us is God is calling all of us to serve this December, to serve this Christmas season. At Purpose Church, we say this all the time. Pastor Glenn was famous for this. It takes hundreds to reach thousands. And I want to remind you, did you know that December is the most strategic month to serve, and it is the most strategic month to invite someone to church? Let me prove that to you. Statistics tell us that 61% of Americans attend church in December. That means the majority of Americans, not the majority of Christians, the majority of Americans will be at church in the month of December. 57% of Americans who don't attend church in December said they would if someone invited them. I mean, this is crazy. This next month, the month of December, the majority of Americans will go to church, and the majority of Americans who aren't going to come to church said they would go to church if somebody would simply invite them. Google Trends have shown that the word church is searched more around Easter and in the month of December than any other time of the year. This next month is our most strategic opportunity because people are curious. And we know December is a really busy month. And so we want to give you six opportunities to invite your friends and your family, your circle of influence who don't know Jesus, to come and experience him through Purpose Church. In fact, here's just a sampling of what we have going on here at Purpose Church. We got the Christmas kickoff on December 1st. We have our food trucks and festive fun on December 8th. We've got our Christmas concert and cocoa bar the weekend of the 14th and the 15th. We have the kids' Happy Birthday Jesus party on the 22nd. We've got two Christmas Eve services on the 24th. And then we've got our last Sunday of 2024 celebration on Sunday, December 29th. These are all amazing opportunities to invite your community to experience Jesus. And on December 1st, we're going to be kicking off our brand new series called The Real Jesus. What he actually said, what he actually did, and how we actually follow him. Now, whether you've been following Jesus for a really long time, we're going to be diving into the Gospel of Matthew for 30 weeks, exploring who he is. This is a great series for those of us that have been following Jesus for a while and for anyone in our lives who is curious and interested in him. You see, I want to provide you with two strategic serving opportunities where I believe you can have the greatest impact this December. Maybe you're busy and you're going, hey, this December is going to be crazy. Where can I have the greatest impact? Here are the two areas where you can have the greatest impact this December. Number one, guest services. With all those visitors and guests and regular people, the regular attenders of Purpose Church that are going to be coming in the month of December, we need way more leaders in our guest services. These are the people that wear yellow shirts, and around Christmas time, they wear red shirts. So we want to invite you to join and become one of our red shirts, become one of our guest services team members, whether that's greeting people, ushering, working in the parking lot, welcoming people, being on our safety team. These people are sort of that first line of contact where people experience Jesus through our church. The second area I want to invite you and call you and challenge you to serve in is in Purpose Kids. That's in the nursery, the elementary, early elementary ages. That's in fourth and fifth ministry. Now, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about Purpose Kids for a minute. Our Purpose Kids ministry has a vision. It's the vision of our whole church, but it's specific to them. Their vision is to see every kid everywhere following Jesus. And this team of staff and volunteers, they work so hard to make Purpose Kids a physically safe, emotionally safe, and spiritually safe community and environment for kids to connect with God, to connect and make other friendships, and to have adult, safe, loving, God-fearing adults who pour into their lives. You know, the experts tell us that every single child needs five adults who are investing in them. And I want to invite you this Christmas season and even beyond December to be one of those adults that is spiritually investing in the life of a little one. Now, we have a really good problem here at Purpose Church. And the good problem is this. There are so many new young families coming to our church. But that creates an opportunity. That creates a strategic opportunity where we need more volunteers than we've ever needed before who believe that the next generation is worth everything. Who believe investing in the next generation is worth everything. Because here's the truth. You can talk about the next generation and you can worry about the next generation, or you can influence the next generation. And there's a lot of people who want to talk about the next generation. There's a lot of people who want to worry about the next generation. But I know you. You want to have an actual eternal impact. And how you can have an eternal impact is to invest and influence the next generation. Now, this is personal for me because I am eternally grateful for the Purpose Kids staff and for all the volunteers because you have made an eternal impact on my kids. All four of my kids have been a part of the Purpose Kids ministries, and who they are today is largely in part because of your influence. In fact, a couple years ago when my youngest daughter, Lila, was probably 6 years old, we were driving home from church and she said, I have a question I want to ask you guys. And Lila tends to be a little bit quieter. And so all of us quieted down. We don't want to miss what she had to say. And we said, Lila, what is it? And we were driving home from church and she said, I have a question for you guys. How many of you, she was asking our family, the six of us, she said, raise your hand if you want to die at Purpose Church. And I immediately was horrified by this. I thought, I can't possibly raise my hand because I think that would do far more harm. I think that would traumatize our church if I died at Purpose Church. But what was Lila really saying? She was saying, Purpose Church is a place where she feels loved, a place where she feels alive, a place where her relationship with God is being nurtured as well as it's being nurtured at home. And all the Purpose Kids staff and volunteers are to thank for that. And so I want to challenge all of you to consider serving in Purpose Kids this December and beyond so we can influence the next generation. Well, here's our spiritual practice for the week. Go to purposechurch.com/serve or visit the Connect Center in the lobby. And one, sign up to serve in guest services or Purpose Kids this December to help us reach everyone everywhere who will be visiting our campus this next month. And two, take the Spiritual Gifts Survey to discover more about how God wired and gifted you for ministry, because we are a serving church.